Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. Welcome to Defund the Roy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island. This is episode 225 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly. Mr. Klinsman, good evening.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
A little under the weather, but other than that, I'm doing fine. A little banged up. I don't know if I caught something on the plane, but ever since I've been back, the girls both were under the weather, and now I'm catching it. So it happened right when we got back to Rhode Island. So I don't know if it was the airplane or just readjusting to terrible Rhode Island weather.
Yeah, I was wondering, you might be just allergic to Rhode Island.
It's possible.
We might have to go get a doctor's note to have you move down here.
Oh, because of the nice fresh air. I felt good down there.
Yeah.
It was hot, but it felt good. We'll get more into that trip in the coming weeks, I assume, right?
Yes, we will.
We have a lot to talk about. How are things going down there? How's Cha? I heard you had a voicemail from him.
Oh, Jeremy? He's going up to Atlanta next week. I'm picking up a couple of his shifts.
Oh, so he called and asked you?
Yes.
What's he doing in Atlanta?
He's got relatives, family up there. I think his sister's up in Atlanta.
So he's going to visit his sister for longer than he visits his grandkids.
Yes, he's going up to Minneapolis. We've been discussing a potential Minneapolis trip.
Oh, you and Cha together?
Yes.
The Genamine Express?
Genamine Express. I've actually, you know what? I've been doing Google or YouTube videos on Korea.
Really?
And that's kind of like, I'm kind of getting a little itch to go to Seoul.
Hmm.
That's odd, isn't it?
That's very odd, especially for you.
For me, like, you know, that's way out of my comfort zone. I'd like to go to Ireland and parts of Europe, kind of see my heritage, but that's way out of my comfort zone. But I figured, if I were to go, I'd like to go with somebody who's from there.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
It'll be a lot more comfortable. And he said he took a buddy a couple years ago, and he would love to do it again. So we're in the
early discussion
phases.
Early
discussions, yes.
They should just put a Korea pavilion in Epcot, and you'll be all set. That's right.
Yeah, then I don't have to go. Because anywhere where there's a pavilion in Epcot, I don't really need to see that country.
Right, because we've seen the best of it anyway.
Yeah, I've been
Have you been watching
bits
the World
pieces.
Cup, sir? I like that it's on early because we could put it
on
at work.
Yeah, it's in Russia this year, so it's early.
Mm-hmm. Like the first game starts at 8 o'clock, goes all day. So basically it's going on all day, and the last game ends right when we close up for the day.
Nice.
So that's been good. I'm not a big soccer guy, but
yeah,
every 4 years
I'm
I
the
get
same
into
way.
It. It's tough, though. USA's not in it, although they always disappoint anyway.
Yeah.
I don't really have anyone to pull for.
What about Portugal?
I like Portugal. I'm just not a big fan of Ronaldo.
Yeah, I root for, like, Portugal, yeah. England, Ireland when they were in 94, but definitely not France.
No, not France. They're pretty good, too. And not Brazil, because I don't like that Neymar guy. He seems like a big baby, but you know, maybe I'll pull for Belgium. I watched their game today, and they were fun to watch.
Were they?
Yeah, very fun to watch.
And
they
have
good
beer, too. Can they put the
ball in the net? They did. They scored 5 goals. So maybe that's who I'll pull for at this point, because they're still in the knockout stage right now. They haven't gotten to the tournament yet. Would you like to hear about my unofficial drink of the week? It's not a cocktail this week. It's just some orange juice out of a Tervis tumbler. Yeah.
Oh, orange juice. Getting some of that vitamin C, try to get this crap out of you.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what's going on. It's like kind of chest congestion, not really. And then I spiked a fever the last couple nights, not too high, just like 99.5 tonight when I took it, 99.7 last night. So
I've got a couple good work stories if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll sit back and listen.
So my old pro came up. He was picking up his wife at Tampa Airport. She's a stewardess for Delta. So he comes rolling up, and we had changed uniforms. We used to wear green, now we're wearing blue. He's like, "Hey, Hurley, you're out of uniform." And I look at bag drop. I'm like, "Who's that?" I see these two goofy labs in the back seat sticking their head out. I'm like, "Todd, what's up?" So we started talking, and And he's like, yeah, I was on my way to the airport, and I know you work Thursdays. I just wanted to stop by and say hi and see when we're going to play some golf and this and that. And then I said, well, don't be a stranger. I said, if you want to come out and hit balls, I said, we've got this $29.95 membership, range membership. And he hated it because you don't make any money on that. And mm-hmm. you have all these idiots who aren't even golfers. They just come out and just smack balls and take huge divots.
Yeah, they just take up time and make a mess.
So I said, yeah, exactly. So I said, yeah, we have a $29.95 membership, blah, blah, blah. So he looked at me, he said, if I pay you cash out here, he said, you can probably get me a little discount, right? And I was just laughing my balls off. That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, so your reputation precedes you, huh?
Give me a little cash discount out here. I said, absolutely. Cash on curb. So then we have like little nicknames for our paying customers. Derek used to have like a portfolio of people, so it'd be like, say you paid $15 to play around, mm-hmm. they'd call you Gary 15.
Okay.
So like you say you were friends with Derek and you call him and say, hey, I want to come out to Stony Brook. He'd be like, I'm not working, but let me text my buddy who's working. He would text me and say, Gary 15 is going to be coming out at about 5:30. So I know, okay. You know, it's like a drug transaction. You know what I mean? Just exactly. I know that you're showing up. So I see this guy, Pro Shop's closing up. I see this guy carrying his bag. I said, what's this guy want? Maybe I can sell him some range balls. So, look, and it's a guy I used to work with when I lived in Venice. I'm like, Daryl, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, he goes, better question, what are you doing here? I said, my old cart barn manager is friends with the assistant pro, and when he found out I was moving up to the Bradenton area, he called his buddy and got me a job up here and blah, blah, blah. And it's a good tipping job. And so I said, you want to hit some balls? You want to go out? What are you doing? He goes, I'm meeting my buddy Grant, and Grant's a paying customer. I said, Grant, Lexus Grant? He works at Lexus. He's like, yeah, you know him? I said, yeah. He's a good guy. I said, he's coming up. And I'm like, beautiful. This is two rounds right here. So Lexus Grant shows up and he asks that typical question. I said, I answered it. And they went off and played golf. So when they came back in, Chow was hitting balls and he was talking to me at the stands. And I said, Daryl, I said, you got my number? He said, I don't know. What is it? So I gave it to him. And he said, let me call you and I'll save it to my phone. I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, I run some really, really good deals in the summer. I said, if you ever want to come out, just text me or give me a call and I can hook you up. And Chaw was laughing. He loved it.
That's called being a businessman.
Isn't it?
Now, have you thought of like the legal ramifications if they want to like start cracking down on this? Could you get in trouble or they just fire you and wash
They'd probably just fire you. I asked some guy.
One of your customers, a lawyer, just wanted to make sure.
Nah, but we had a guy who works just in season. He lives out in Cape Cod, and he used to be a cop out in Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. So I said, what's the charge? He said, oh, it's a larceny, blah, blah, blah. He said, but you call somebody and say that guys sold range balls. Nobody's coming out. He said, they got better things to do.
Yeah.
But I was thinking you could see us on that show, that CNBC show, American Greed. I mentioned it. Next on American Greed, they show me and Cha working the sidewalks.
Just with some soggy $5 bills and some guy's sweaty back pocket all around. Splayed across the seat of the cart at the end of the day, splitting it up.
See, the problem is like these people on American Greed, they get in small and then they just can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they just get in really big with these Ponzi schemes and...
I think the worst thing so far, and you weren't involved in it, was the happy coffee.
You like the happy coffee from Pablo?
Because I'm pretty sure that's crossing a line. Like, selling alcohol is not... You want to get
into it. That's liquor license stuff right there.
Right, that's like mafia stuff. I'd be a little worried about that, you know?
The happy coffee.
You get the Food and Drug Administration down your throat. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, you're starting to see, like, the black jackets with the white letters on the back. When they start showing up, it's not good. The Lincoln Continental, just like seven of them just come screaming up to bag drop. Yeah, then you're screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, I think when you start selling consumer trouble.
See, I think it's like the mafia. Just stay away. You don't want to do, you want to do the cigarettes. You want to do some fake Rolexes. They're not going to be on your trail. As soon as you start getting into the drugs and you're hurting kids, that's when the feds start coming after you. You have to know your product
right.
line.
And right now your product line is range balls.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's good. I like those stories.
They're enjoyable, aren't they? It's stupid, but Hello, Tammy.
You gotta pay for Victoria and Albert somehow.
Oh man, I got a spreadsheet. I got a lot more stuff for that. And Kristen did decide, yeah, I think I'm gonna do the wine pairing. I said, hey, if we're spending $600 for shrimp cocktail, why not another $150 on some wine?
Yeah, that's right. Might as well go all out. That sounds like a good place to take a break. What do you think?
Yeah, let's take a break, Mr. Klinsman. Alright, we're back from break. This is episode 225 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los podcast. Mr. Klinsman is up in Westerly Studio joining me for another episode. And, you know, Mr. Klinsman, I always joke about how you're cheap. And look at me, you're not a cheap guy. You may be a little on the frugal side, but you do enjoy a good steak, you enjoy some cocktails, and you do enjoy the leisure of life and traveling.
That's right.
And when I talked to you toward the tail end of your vacation, it was probably at 1900 Park Fair, the last night that you guys were there, you told me the rental car is the way to go. And knowing that, you know, the only way you could do it was to have a rental car because you have two young ones, and Magical Right. Express probably wasn't going to be the best mode of transportation. But I thought, looking back, you might say, I could have saved a couple $100. We could have put it toward dinner, this and that. But you flat out said that's the only way to go. And that kind of piqued my interest about this whole rental car thing.
Yeah, so we're going to break it down a little bit. Obviously, I had no choice because we were visiting you. So I needed a car. I needed the car seats to get out to you guys in Southwest Florida, which was fine. It was about a two-hour drive from the airport to your place.
It's a nice drive, isn't it?
It wasn't bad. But, yeah, so we needed to rent the car, and I was trying to think, like you said, I was looking at value propositions and being cheap and saying, well, what if I return it on Monday and then take the Magical Express back and we'll just use the buses when we're at Disney? And I couldn't really think of a good way to do that because I would have had to leave the girls all at the hotel or at Disney, go back to the airport, return the car, and then take like an Uber or something.
Well, you could have paid a little bit of a fine and dropped it off at a different location because they're out.
Oh, like at the Swan or Dolphin.
Swan or Dolphin, or I think they have one other area on property where you can rent cars.
Right, but then I would have had to make sure it was the same place because that was a Thrifty. I don't know if they have all the same car rental places there. Regardless. So what I ended up doing ahead of the trip was going on and doing one of those Hotwire deals where they don't tell you the company you're renting from. So you just pick the size you want, and you could select only in terminal, which I did, because I didn't want to have to leave the airport to rent the car. And so they tell you, you know, the size. So I did, like, the subcompact SUV or whatever they call it, midsize SUV. And it ended up being The rental charge was $200 for the week. So it was 7 nights, 8 days of the car.
Now, break it down. I mean, there's a lot of taxes and this and airport tax. And the,
right.
But you said you got this bad boy for $15 a day.
Yeah, it was $15 a day, and then there was all those taxes and fees, and then the upsells when you pick it up. I did the plate pass thing, which was like $50. And then I did the not having to bring it back full of gas.
Okay.
And they basically just charge you per gallon what it would be, like
if
270.
It was
270. No, they whatever they end up putting in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not a bad deal.
So they don't charge you till after, but you're paying the same rate as you would. It's just like they said it would be 270 a gallon. So I ended up paying an extra $114 with all that stuff, the gas, the toll fees and everything. So I ended up being $321 total for the rental car,
and
which breaks down to about $40 a day.
And let's also not forget about your resort tax.
Right. On the... Oh, no, I didn't have to pay to park. I booked ahead of time.
Oh!
This trip was booked before that went into effect.
Okay.
So with talking about the rental car, I wanted to break that into it because that could change the equation. So I got a pretty good deal on the car, I think. I mean, with those fees, I think the plate pass thing was probably not worth the $50.
Yeah, because when you told me that you did that, I said he's not going to have any tolls.
There were a few coming in and out.
Oh, about in and out of the airport. That's right. But
probably would have ended up being like $15-$20. But you would have had to have exact change and everything like that. So that makes it would have been a little inconvenient, but I could have made it work. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to do more research in the future to see if that's worth it. But for the ease of it all, it wasn't too bad. So about $300, $320, and 8 days, 7 nights, so $40 a day, basically, for this car. And obviously got good use out of it, because I drove all the way to you guys, so that 2 hours each way. We did some driving, because we went to the aquarium. That was about a 45-minute drive away, out to the moat.
The Moat Aquarium, yep, in Sarasota.
That's in Sarasota, so that was about a 45-minute drive, which we wouldn't have been able to do without the car because you wouldn't have had
a
car big enough with car seats, all that stuff. So we definitely used it, and then when we got back to Orlando, instead of going right to Disney, we went to the Florida Mall to the Crayola Experience because mm-hmm. we had bought tickets for that ahead of time on Black Friday, got some good deals on that. The girls enjoyed that. Then we got the text from Disney saying our room was ready. So then we drove right to the hotel, went right through the security, checked in on the Magic Band, and drove right to our room, parked right out front, had all the bags in the car, and walked right up to the room. And that was beautiful, just being able to do that. And then, you know, I thought in my head, I was like, oh, we can take the boat to Disney Springs a few times. We'll take the buses if we need to get here and there. And then I'm thinking to myself, I have the car, I might as well use the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So easy to get around. Parking at the resorts is easy, especially when you have dining reservations. So, like, we drove to the boardwalk because we had a breakfast reservation
right.
at Trattoria Al Forno. We just checked it at the gate, and I said, oh, I have a reservation at 8:20 or whatever time it was. And he scanned my band, and he told me where to park. I parked, we walked in, beautiful, got back. It was like a 10-minute drive each way. Even at the Poly and Grand Floridian, I mean, like I said, we had the reservation, so that obviously helps, but no one really batted an eye about parking at the hotels. We even just drove up to Fort Wilderness and said we wanted to check out the ranch and go down to the settlement area and walk around, and he's like, oh yeah, just park here, take the bus and do this, and
mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't really care. I don't think too many people are weaseling free parking at Fort Wilderness to
correct.
Get to the Magic
right,
Kingdom.
Right.
But I will share a little story further down about weaseling some parking that I told you, but I'll get into it in a minute. But it just made everything so easy to get around to the dinner. Like, we didn't have to leave 25 minutes ahead mm-hmm. of, like, we had a reservation for Kona breakfast.
Yeah, what time was that at?
I think it was 8:20 was the reservation. I think we left the room at 7:30. We got in there, we were hanging around the lobby, and by the time we went upstairs, it was probably like 7:50 when we checked in. Like, we took pictures in the lobby, like, the girls had to use the bathroom, things like that. By the time we checked in upstairs, we were still 20 minutes early to our reservation. So that was beautiful, being able to do that. Whereas, if we had to take the bus, we would have had to wait for the bus to the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That bus would have taken, what, 25 minutes at least to get to the Magic Kingdom.
Easy.
Get off the bus, go through security, get on the boat or the monorail to the Polynesian. So that would have been at least an hour and a half ahead of time we would have had to leave. And just being able to do that was so great. And then we weren't stuck on property, but we basically stayed on property. We ended up going to the outlet, the Disney outlet, which was terrible, by the way, I have to admit. I've heard good things about it, and it was kind of, I guess it's hit or miss.
Yeah, it's like any outlet, exactly.
So we went there, and we were kind of disappointed, and we actually ended up going to Waldert right outside property, and we got some souvenirs for the girls there. We got some shirts and hats and things like that for cheap. You know, I think the shirts were like $8, and the hat was like $10 for the girls. We needed some sunscreen anyway, so we got some sunscreen there instead of buying it at property. So we ended up going to Walmart, which we wouldn't have been able to do without the car. And we did that. We ate all our meals on property. That was part of what we wanted to do. So it was like we were trying to save money.
Man, going to Denny's or something, right?
Yeah, going off property for food. But we could have if we wanted to, if there was a place we really wanted to try. Would have made it very easy. And then on our checkout day, we just had everything packed in the car, and we drove to the Orlando Eye. And we were able to experience that, and we did the Sea Life Aquarium that was there. That was another one we had prepaid tickets for. And that was pretty fun, actually, doing the eye and everything like that. We'll talk about that another time.
Yep.
But having the car and getting to and from the airport was super simple, too. Like, I just imagine, I heard horror stories about Florida drivers, and I can kind of see it driving there a little bit, but luckily I had no issues. Didn't really get lost at all. Was able to navigate around property very easily, use a GPS. And it's so, like, Riverside was so close to everything that we went to, it seemed like. Granted, we didn't do the park, so we didn't have to drive to Animal Kingdom. I don't know how far of a drive that is.
Yeah, I think they're actually both, like, on the opposites of property.
Because, like, Epcot was, like, 8 minutes to get to the gate, and, like, Boardwalk was 10. The Magic Kingdom things were, like, 12 or 15 minutes to get to the hotels around the Magic Kingdom. So it was very simple. And it was like a back way in. We didn't have to go through the main gate to get into the Magic Kingdom, which was nice.
Yeah, you kind of took like that side road, like but you cut through like where about a mile from where Mary used to live.
That's exactly right.
You drove by Fort Wilderness and the Four Golden Seasons, Oaks. And
yeah,
yep, came in right that way. Yep,
that's right. So that was very easy to do. Also, because of that, I'll get into that now. We were gifted some passes, a one-day park hopper from Por Favor Amanda, so we went to Epcot on Friday, and then after we had dinner with you guys at 1900 Park Fair, which we'll dedicate a show to that coming up.
Absolutely.
Right? We had dinner at 1900. Eugenia Jr. was ready for bed. Eugenia had taken a nap that day, so she was ready to go. So I asked her if she wanted to go to Magic Kingdom for the evening, because we had the park hoppers. So I would have never tried to do that if I had to take the bus. So I got in the car, was going to park at the Ticketed Transportation Center, legit, and take the ferry or monorail over. But the GPS took me right by, like, it went by the main entrance for it. And where it told me to turn, it said, like, buses only. So obviously I didn't go in there, and I didn't really know what to do. So I just pulled into the Poly, and the guy... I rolled my window down. I told the guy, I said, I just want to go get a Dole Whip at the quick serve over there. And he was like, all right, yeah, go ahead and have a good evening. So I had to tell a little white lie, or I guess not a white lie, a complete lie, to get in, and found a parking spot. We went up to the monorail stand and got right over to the Magic Kingdom. And I think we were in the Magic Kingdom by 8:15. And what time did we leave you guys at the Grand Floridian? 7:45 maybe?
No, it was a little before,
about maybe 7:30.
7:30 or so, yeah.
But, total, to go all the way back to the resort, get ready, and come all the way back and be in the Magic Kingdom in less than an hour, that would be impossible using Disney transportation. So, I mean, it made a lot of things possible. Our time was more valuable. just to do other things, you know, because you if you end up spending 45 minutes, an hour ahead each time to plan just to get places, it just makes everything take so much longer.
No brainer.
If you're just doing parks, I mean, it still saves you, but it doesn't matter as much. But when you're trying to do, like, dining reservations at the resorts, man, what a difference it makes.
Because that's what I was thinking. I said, you know, if you're staying at Pop and all you do is do the parks, and all you the only places you eat at is the park that you're going to that day,
then, don't need the rental.
Then you don't need the rental car.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
But I think the way that you and I like to do it, if I was living in Minnesota and Susie and I were doing a yearly trip or every other year trip, we're going to want to hit the resorts for dinner, different ones. And if you're going to Yachtsman, do you really want to have to go to Epcot? And even though it's a short walk, you still have to walk through the entire park.
Right.
You know, go through the back entrance. And I'm sorry, I think time is very valuable, especially when you're on vacation.
Yeah, and we did take Disney transportation a couple times. Like I said, we took the boat to Disney Springs, which took
you did that more as an attraction, though. You didn't really use as a mode of transportation. I mean, that's something everybody has to do. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just an amazing boat ride. But you did that more to have fun with the kids.
Yes, of course. And that was also it started storming, so we couldn't take the boat back, so we had to take the bus back. Which probably took, the bus came pretty quickly, but it probably took 20 minutes to get back from Disney Springs, where the next day, or maybe 2 days later, we ended up driving to Disney Springs. We parked in the Lime Garage, and I think it took us 8 minutes to get back to the hotel.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's as soon as you get onto that main road, you take a right, and you're going right past Oak Key West, and you're in your parking lot.
That's right, so... Yeah, we were coming back from Walmart when we did the outlet in Walmart, and we just went right to Disney Springs because we had lunch reservation at Art Smith, and we parked right in the garage, walked out, was probably like a 3-minute walk to Art Smith's, went there. By that time, it was Eugenia Jr.'s nap time, so we didn't really walk around Disney Springs after lunch that day. Got back in the car, drove back to the hotel. She fell asleep in the car, put her down for a nap, and... You know, that was a good afternoon for everybody because she finally got a good nap in. And that wouldn't have happened with the buses and everything like that either. So that's another advantage. And I was a little tentative going in because I was worried about bringing the car seats on the plane, getting the car seats installed in the rental, in the parking garage, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it went a lot smoother than I thought. It wasn't simple. As anyone who's put in a car seat knows, it's a pain in the butt. But it wasn't terrible. I got them in pretty quickly, didn't have many issues. Actually, getting them out of the car when we got back to the airport was more difficult than getting them in. It's one of the straps was stuck. I couldn't get my hand in there to undo it how I normally do. And then felt like I was under pressure because we had like the SkyCap person there waiting for us with the trolley to bring stuff to gate to check in. So we're trying to rush and get it back in the bag and everything. And both girls were asleep. So I put Eugenia in the trunk and just had her sit down in the trunk like half asleep and Eugenia Jr. in the stroller, and she stayed asleep while we're trying to take the car seats out of the thing. But I thought I'd have to get back super early to the airport because we had to check all our bags. We had to check into the flight because we had the lap child and everything, but that all went really smoothly. And then we were stuck at the airport for forever because we had a 4-hour delay, but that's another story for another day. It was pretty easy. The rental process going online was easy. The rental cars are literally across the street from the terminal. So you go down to the rental car. I think it's on the third floor or the first floor, whatever. The bottom floor where it's the Magical Express is actually. It's ground transportation and rental cars. You go down, you get your rental, and then you go across the street into the garage, and they tell you which row to go in. And you just pick any car in the row. The keys are already in it. Load up your stuff. You drive out. They scan you at the exit. So you get all your information coordinated with which car you've taken. And you're on your way. Pull out of that parking garage. We were on the highway pretty much instantly.
Getting out of there. It's easy getting out of
there. Very easy. I was worried about, you know, getting lost and being confusing. But it was very easy. I had no issues getting in and out of the airport. You know, leaving with the rental, getting back in. The rental return was very well marked, also very easy. They just scan you right in and do all that stuff. So I would do it again, probably not every trip, but a trip like this where we're doing, you know, less days in the park, more resort stuff, more meals at different resorts, or doing something outside of Disney. But if we're doing a trip with just parks, then yeah, I'd probably do Magical Express. But now I ended up, after all the taxes and everything, it went from $15 or whatever, $18 a day, which was the rate, and then taxes, fees, the plate pass, the gas, ended up being $300. So $40 a day. How much is the parking fee at a moderate? $20? $22 or something?
No, that's at a deluxe.
I thought it was $26 at the deluxe, $22 at the moderate.
Yeah, it could be. Let's just say $20.
We'll say $20. So that brings it up to $60 a day. That's a lot more, you know, for 5 or 6 nights. If you're doing $60 a day, that's adding it up pretty quick. That extra, you know, 50% more for parking, that makes a difference to me. So this is where it comes into the equation of either you do Magical Express and stay on property, or you rent a car and maybe stay off property, or rent a house or a condo and do it that way. So I don't know. That's something you have to kind of weigh out the cost of everything. But that extra, if it's $15, $18 a day, that adds a lot to it, you know, after all the fees that you're getting whacked anyway, and then all of a sudden you got to pay a parking fee per night. That brings the cost way up on these rental cars.
Yeah, it goes back to convenience. If you can, the thing that I hate about Magical Express is that you leave like 18 days before you're supposed to depart from MCO.
Oh, on the way back.
On the way back.
4.5 hours.
You know, so if you can save a couple, if you can do something for a couple hours, put a price tag on that. Because there's going to come a time in January where you're looking back and saying, God, I wish I could go on Space Mountain, or I wish I could have done this, or I wish I could do this. And you would have been able to do that by having a rental car.
Right, but you could always do Magical Express, not rent a car, and then do Uber back to the
airport. Yeah, you could. There's different options.
To save that time on the way back. So, yeah, you don't have to rent a car the whole time to do that. But I understand what you're saying, and I do agree with what you're saying. Do you have any questions for me about the renting of cars, or you want to just head to the next
one? No, what did you think from a convenience standpoint?
Everything was super easy. Parking at the resort was no problem. There was plenty of spaces in our area anyway. Plenty of spaces at every resort. The hardest time I had finding parking was when I went to the Poly at like 8 o'clock at night to go to the Magic Kingdom on Friday.
To have the Dole Whip.
But there was still, to have my Dole Whip. But there's still plenty of spots in a second lot that I didn't know was there, because when I got up onto the monorail, I saw this other lot that was basically empty. So I think if I kept driving around, I would have found that lot anyway. But, I had no issues. Everything was super close. Convenience was nice. It makes you more willing to do different things. You know, we would have never gone to Fort Wilderness if we didn't have the car.
Right.
It wouldn't have been worth it, because we were already at the Poly. So if we didn't have the car, we would have had to take the monorail to the Magic Kingdom,
take the boat to
Fort Wilderness, take the boat back to the Magic Kingdom, get on a bus back to Port Orleans. You know, and that was after, and that would have had to be after taking the bus to the Magic Kingdom and then the monorail to the Polynesian for our breakfast in the first place. That would have been 6-7 hour ordeal to do all that stuff.
Too much traveling with two young kids.
Especially with the kids. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind taking the ferry rides and the boat rides across Seven Seas Lagoon and all that, but with the young kids, and especially, it was pretty warm. You don't want to necessarily just be out in the boat on the heat, because you don't really escape the heat too much on the boat. It's a little bit, but not 100% like you do in the car and crank the AC
And the heat bit. The heat affects young kids a lot more than it affects you and I.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, just like the cold does. I mean, it's just, that beats down those little kids.
Yeah. Yeah, their bodies don't know how to handle it, but it was overall very, very convenient. Like, parking at Epcot was fantastic. We got there a little before rope drop, probably 10 minutes before rope drop. I think we were in the parking lot at 8:45.
Now, did you guys take the tram? Because that's probably the first time you've ever parked in the parking lot. Or no, did you walk in?
Like, we were in like A30 something.
She just walked. I mean, even if you park in the back of the parking lot, it's an easy walk to the gate.
Yeah.
It's not like the Magic Kingdom where there's no way to get there. I mean,
it was a 5-minute walk to the
gate. Yeah.
If that, it might have been less. It was literally like 30 rows back from where you get out. So we were in Mexico and it started pouring. So we stayed in there for a little while. We came out, there was a little break, and then it started pouring again. So we ran into the baby care center, which is in the old Odyssey restaurant.
Yeah, right. There. Yep.
We hung out there until the rain stopped, and then we left the park. It probably took us from that point in the back of the park back to the hotel 25 minutes total.
Wow.
So, like, you know, 15-minute walk to the car and then 10 minutes back to the hotel, and we were back in our room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't beat that. It takes longer to walk to the bus stop than it did to walk to our car. If we had to walk to the Port Orleans bus stop at Epcot, that's a longer walk than
you got some long walks to the bus stop. And let's keep in mind, depending on what time you leave, you might have to wait for a second bus or even a third bus.
Yeah, if you leave at the end of the day, there could be big lines. Well, we left, there wouldn't have been lines, but I understand what you're saying. Because when we left the Magic Kingdom at night, it was right after the fireworks when I left with Eugenia. And we got on the monorail, the resort monorail, and we got on the first one that came. But the TTC Express monorail said it had a 20-minute wait. Buses would have been 3-4 buses deep. The ferry would have been forever. So, yeah, I mean, having the car was a huge advantage, definitely.
Because, like, I remember our 2014 trip, the first day when we went to Hollywood Studios, Chris and I got separated and my cell phone died.
Right.
And I took a bus back to the room and I started charging my phone and turned it on. And I watched the 11 o'clock news, and then you and Sarah came in and you informed me that Susie was a little irritated with me because I left her. And then like 25 minutes after that, she came in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a whole hour after I got on the first bus.
Right.
Because we were all leaving like right around the same time, so you took the second bus, she took the third bus. I mean,
right?
You're looking at an hour on, especially on the back end when the kids are tired and cranky, and they just want to change into their PJs and go to bed.
I guess the next thing you have to do, as far as a calculation goes, is maybe you can plan it where it's cheaper to just Uber, take Magical Express back and forth, and then Uber around when you have dinner reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of spending, you know, if I had to spend $450, that's a lot of Uber trips for the rental
right.
car. You know, like with the parking fee and everything, it would be about $450 for my rental car.
Yeah. I think you just set a budget, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But
right, and at that point, then you do the Uber. So, like, we would have done Uber to our boardwalk reservation instead of doing the bus, and then maybe taking the bus to Disney Springs both times instead of driving.
Yep.
You know, you just got to figure out which one's going to work the best when you're doing it that way. So, I don't know. It's something, at least, it's kind of opened my eyes to it, and it's just another thing to think about going forward on these trips, especially a more resort-heavy, dining-heavy trip.
So
like we said, parks only, I'm going to stick with Magical Express and buses. Even though they do take a lot longer, it's still worth it, the cost savings to me.
Okay. So before we go to break, what is your recommendation? You're saying if it's going to be a park-centric trip, the way to go is Disney transportation.
Yeah, I think so. Just for the money savings, then maybe take an Uber here or there if you need to do it.
Okay.
But if you're going off property, obviously, or doing anything before you go to Disney or after, renting a car is definitely the way to go. And if you have a lot of dining reservations at different resorts, or if you want to go to Disney Springs a lot, I think renting a car is a great move. Or even park hopping. I imagine that makes park hopping very easy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Driving around. So that would be, my recommendation. I think if you can swing it in the budget, don't be afraid to do it. It's definitely a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Because I think that's an afterthought, because the transportation is so great at Disney that people say, why do I need to do that?
Like, I was nervous that it was going to be a pain in the butt, and it ended up being the easiest thing and made my trip so much more enjoyable.
Yep.
Like, I was almost, like, nervous about it, which the opposite should have been true. I should have been looking forward to it. It was such a weight off my shoulders. Once those car seats were installed in that thing, I was, like, in heaven the rest of the
time. You knew you were gold.
The car around. Yeah.
You said, I can go anywhere now.
And it was great. And it quickly, yeah, it was good.
Good info, Mr. Klinsman.
All right, yeah, I'm glad we got into it a little bit.
All right, we can take our second break now. Break, episode 225 is in the books. Mr. Klinsman talked about the benefits of renting a car on property.
Mm-hmm.
Or renting one at MCO and having one on property, but...
Yeah, I think we knew what you meant.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I confused any listeners.
No, I don't think
I tend to do that from time to time.
That's true. That does happen. We didn't really talk about the U.S. Open. What'd you think of all the controversy with Phil Mickelson?
You know what? I thought that was overrated. I think he snapped. I mean, he was full of baloney.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I don't know why people were all up in arms. Like, oh, he should withdraw. What a disgrace to the game.
Well, you know, and he called the official. He said, should I just withdraw? I mean, he did the right thing. I don't think he's a guy. He's not a guy who disrespects the game of golf. I mean, he's an ambassador. He's still one of the faces of the PGA Tour. I think he snapped, and I'm sure I would have and you would have. And it was funny because the day after, they had this guy in the Golf Channel. You know, or it might have been the Golf Channel of Fox coverage or whatever. But anyways, he was out on that green before they cut for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is the exact putt that Phil had, blah, blah, blah. He said, it's a slightly uphill, a little right to left. He's got to hit it. He thought he had to hit it a little bit to get it to the hole. He said, so I'm going to... And he missed this putt exactly the way that Phil missed it, to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now I'm not going to touch it. Just watch where this thing goes. This thing goes down the hill, and then it curls behind the bunker, about 20 yards behind the bunker. So he's like, so here's his next shot. And you got the bunker, you got the pin right behind the bunker.
Yeah, tucked right in there.
And he said, you got a flat. He said, there's zero chance of landing this on the green. He said, well, you can land it on, but it's going to roll off.
Roll right back to your feet, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I do not like the U.S. Open, and this just cemented
my, it, yeah.
I thought it was a garbage tournament. You know, everybody was talking about, you know, coming in, making par saves. That's what the U.S. Open is. Save par, save par, save par.
But you know what? If they had set up the course all week like it was set up Sunday, it would have been a fun tournament to watch. The guys had a chance to make a score. It wasn't easy, but you have guys out there go out, what did he shoot, a 63?
Yes.
You know, there were birdies out there. They made it. It was playable on Sunday. If they did that all 4 days, so what? Maybe someone would have won at 12 under or something. It would have been a fun tournament to watch.
Like Dan Patrick, I don't know if you listen to Dan Patrick, but he was good. He said, you know, you have these old golf courses that host the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you have this, you have Shinnecock, you have Pebble Beach, you have this, you have this. He said, let it be the golf course. Let these guys play the golf course.
They're playing against each other anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what they shoot.
He said, don't trick it up. Like, if they're going to play Pebble Beach, play Pebble Beach for what it is. But don't, right. I mean, the one that they played 2 years ago or whatever in San Francisco, it was like the first time they played that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, they had windmills, and I mean, it was so stupid. Remember that golf course? It was kind of like a links.
Yeah.
It's out on the West Coast, and it was so dumb.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, when you have a guy on Saturday who plays in the morning like 8 hours before the leaders go out, and he shoots 64, and now he's almost in the final pairing.
Right.
That's stupid.
He was in the final pairing.
Yeah. I mean, that's stupid because nobody after that
had a chance.
I mean, it's just when you play in the morning on Saturday, it's almost like an advantage. Let me play Saturday at like 8:30.
Yeah,
when I can go low because these guys are going to shoot 74, 75.
Right. Yeah, if they had just set it up on like they did Sunday, gave it a little more water, and had it set up to at least be playable, where guys could have gone out and had a good round at 68 or something, would have made it so much more enjoyable for the golfers and the viewers. Like, it's not fun watching these guys shoot 77.
No, and you know, you see the casual golf fan who, oh, it's great to see these guys struggle. Why?
They're not struggling. It's a tricked up.
Right, it's tricked
up.
It's
like playing on a parking lot. It's trying to stop a ball in a parking lot. It's not that they don't know how to play. It's that the course is impossible.
Like, I don't want to see them raise the rims to 25 feet and not seeing guys in the NBA dunk and be able to shoot and say, look at them. They're struggling just like me. No, I want to see. I want to see guys make birdies. I want to see some eagles. I want to see some guys go low.
Like, yeah, I don't want to see 58s out there every time. But you know, if you have a guy win the U.S. Open at 18 under, it doesn't like make it less prestigious.
And I just, I think they've just gotten out of control. I mean, I've heard, I've seen some interviews in the USGA is like, yeah, you know, they didn't want to admit that they lost the golf course on Saturday, but yeah, we weren't factoring in the wind. What do you mean you're not factoring in the wind? You get weather, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid.
I mean, come on, stop it. I mean, this is every year they try to do the same damn thing.
And they have the same excuses for it.
Excuses. Oh, we didn't factor in the wind. Really?
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Well, good. I'm glad you were... had some good passionate points about that, because I figured we didn't talk about it earlier, but
I hate the U.S.
Seems like
Open.
A long time ago, though, doesn't it?
I hate the U.S. Open, and this week is one of my favorites, TPC River Highlands. I
the
love
Greater
that
Hartford Open.
Love that golf course. I love the final, the four finishing holes.
Yeah, because they have that like island green, right? Or the part that
yeah, you got you, well, you got you got 15, which is a drivable par four.
Oh, that's what it is.
Or you can make a number. 16 is I wouldn't say it's an island green, but it's all over water.
Right.
17, you got water all the way to the right. I mean, it's you win or lose on those last four holes. It's a great golf course. And I didn't realize how short it was. They said it was under 7,000 yards, Jurgen.
That's unheard of.
7,000 from the from the tips.
Yeah.
I played the Magnolia 2 years ago from the whites, and it was at 6,600 yards. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's crazy.
Have to do some research on that coming up. That's coming soon, quicker than you think. I gotta dust off my sticks.
Yeah, you probably have cobwebs all over your grips, and
I haven't played since last August. So how am I doing?
You probably go shoot lights out. It's like when you're late for a tee time.
Yeah,
you get out there and you stripe at 290 right down the middle.
I'll hit it okay, but there's no chance I'm gonna score.
And then you hit the ground ball pitching wedge
right
into a bunker, flub it over, and you make six.
Yeah, you go to the par five, you hit a nice driver, a nice five iron, you got 60 yards in, and you make a seven.
Ah, those are the best, aren't they?
Yeah, that's my MO all day long.
You got the 60-yard, three-quarter sand wedge, and you hit a ground ball.
Yeah, chunk it, lay some sod over it.
This is Eric.
Eric Erickson.
Yeah, I got nothing left.
All right, Bill, let's bring it home.
All right, you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. At Por Favor Podcast, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Por Favor Podcasts. Our website is www.porfavorpodcast.com. Info the show, email the show, info@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email me, Mike, at Por Favor Podcast, Mr. Klinsman.
You can email me, Gary, at porfavorpodcast.com, or go to youtube.com/porfavorpodcast.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 225 of the Por Favor Montangase Alejandro de los Podcast. For Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in sunny southwest Florida. We'll talk to you next week.